So yes, we are continuing with Ruach, which is breath of God. And I've kind of got a couple of issues with this theme, the breath of God. Nothing biblical, just I really, really, really don't like any kind of like breath on me, if that makes sense. So like any kind of, as soon as wind comes into play with the weather, that's it, I'm done. I've got to take a jacket, I've got to put something on, I hate it. If you're sat in, like some of you might be sat in a car, air conditioning comes on. Does anybody hate it when the air conditioning is like blasting in their face? Like Ross really likes it, I really don't. So we have to like split our car in half and he has it on one side and I don't. So that's my first issue. I really don't like. And also when you're sleeping near to someone and they're breathing on you, awful. That's horrible. I have to turn away. So that's my first issue with this theme. And then the second issue is I found the last couple of weeks when anybody's been talking about like the breath of God and breathing, I like start to think about my own breathing pattern. And then I sit for the whole service going, and you forget how to breathe. Is anybody doing it right now? And you have to like consciously think about how to breathe, and then you forget how to breathe, and then you're like consciously going. So I keep doing that like every time somebody talks about it. So sorry if you're doing that right now, because it really does affect me. So there are a couple of issues that I have, but it's fine, I'll get over it. But yeah, we're continuing the theme on the breath of God. And we have seen this incredible thread going through the whole Bible, where a couple of weeks ago we started in Genesis when God gave that life-giving breath into Adam. Last week we heard of like Ezekiel's breath of God moment where the dry bones came to life with a breath. And then today we find ourselves stepping into the New Testament. And we're going to read from John chapter 20 verses 19 to 23. It'll be on the screens for you as well, but if you want to find it. So John 20 verses 19 to 23. So we're going to read it together. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." And with that, he breathed on them. You know, the passages before this one, like our ones that we know really well, we read them at Easter. It's our Easter story. Jesus has just died on the cross and he's been risen from the dead. Moments earlier, Mary Magdalene has just met with Jesus outside the empty tomb. And then we find it here where Jesus appears to his disciples. You know, words probably can't even describe all of the emotions they will have been feeling in that moment. And then we have this really amazing moment where Jesus does something really intentional and he breathes on them. The Greek word that's used here is the same that is found in Genesis that we were talking about before, when God gives that life-giving breath. And it's the same word that's used in Ezekiel as well. This is the same breath of God. And this was such a big moment for so many different reasons. So Jesus, we know that he has just risen from the dead, and he was showing them in his breath by breathing on them how alive he actually was. Because we know that doubting Thomas was in that room. And even though he's just seen the wounds, he's touched his side, I reckon Jesus might have needed to think, "Oh, I've got to keep going here. I've got to prove to them how alive I really am." And he breathes on them. There was no doubt how alive Jesus was. He was dead and now he was alive. There is breath in his lungs. But it's not just any breath. These disciples are being breathed on with the same power, the same spirit that moments earlier raised Jesus from the dead. And now, how incredible, this is the same power, the same spirit that we can receive too. How incredible is that? Because Jesus is really, really intentional. It's not just about proving something that he's proving is alive and that's it, but it's about purpose. He breathes on them with purpose. He, in that moment, is commissioning the disciples. He's telling them to go, but he knows that without the Holy Spirit, they can't do anything. That life-giving spirit is now propelling them into the world. This new creation, this new life, what Jesus has done in raising from the dead. And this is now for them to carry into the world. You know, I find scripture amazing. The threads that go through the Bible, like God's word is just so good. And the thread of all of this is like mind-blowing. So like Jesus here is mirroring like what happened back then in Genesis when God breathed into the nostrils of Adam. And we know, don't we, that Jesus is described as the second Adam. So that like new covenant, that new life with Christ, that we can now have that relationship with God without any barriers. We can be in his presence daily. And get this, in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 45, it says this: the first man, Adam, became a living being, the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. How incredible is that all the way through the Bible, and we get to this moment where Jesus is now this life-giving spirit. Jesus gives us and gives his disciples in that moment a life-giving spirit. We've got that journey right from the beginning of time of a breath of life, and we've now got that spirit, a life-giving spirit, from life to life. The disciples in that moment were being awakened to go. Jesus breathes on them with the Holy Spirit, and it is their promise of his presence, their connection to him, all that they now need in their lives and their purpose, a life-giving spirit. And Jesus is so intentional. They are filled up to be sent out. And he knows that it has to be that way. That without his spirit, without the Holy Spirit working in them, they can't do it by themselves. They can't do it on their own strength. And they have to be filled to be sent out. So that is a bit of like what is going on in that passage. But what does that mean for us today? If that same spirit that we talked about, we can receive that, it dwells within us. But what does it look like? And I really want to ask us today, and like we've heard it right from the start as Aaron shared, to have a different posture and a different perspective. We heard it right at the start that sometimes everything can look a bit chaotic around us, but actually we shift our perspective, we shift our eyes, and we see something new. So I want to ask us to kind of have that this morning, a different posture and a different perspective to receive all that God's got for us. And I want to tell you a story that happened to me recently. And I was at the AOG conference earlier this year. A few of us ministers go away and our team, and it is a great time of just being filled. And so we go away to Harrogate, and I was like child free. So I like use the opportunities in the morning because I could just get ready by myself. I could have a shower. I could like get ready leisurely, but I was like, right, I'm going to use the most of these opportunities these mornings, and I'm going to go for a run. Ooh. So I've not run in a long time, but I thought I'll use this opportunity, it's fine. And I don't know if anyone's been to Harrogate, but it is very hilly, up and down. So where we were staying was kind of at the bottom of a bit of a hill, and I decided that the first thing that I was going to do on this run was run up a giant hill. The first, no warm-ups. The first thing, I was just going to go straight up, straight to the top. And this was a big mistake. At the top, I could hardly breathe. I was like struggling to catch my breath. I like carried on running because I was like, I'm not going to be beaten. I'm like really awesome at this now. And I kept on running, but I was like, like gasping for breath at every opportunity. And at that time, I was like, I think there was loads of stuff going on in my head. There was a lot going on, and I was just a bit stressed about certain stuff and things like that. And in that moment, I felt God really spoke to me. So much so that I just stopped my run, and I thought, I need to write this down. And I felt like God was saying to me that I was gasping for breath. like this. And I needed to stop and to breathe in through my nose, which is a random thing that's for God to say. But I thought, I need to listen to what God's saying. And I stood for a few minutes and I thought about breathing and how in sport or even when you're giving birth and you learn your breathing techniques and different things like that, or when you go into a spa and it's that relaxation that it's always, isn't it, in through your nose and out through your mouth. In through your nose and out through your mouth. And quickly in that moment, I researched and it is so beneficial breathing through your nose. And I felt like God was saying to me in that moment, he spoke to me again and said that for me in my relationship with him, that I needed to change my posture, the way that I was breathing him in, that actually I was gasping and getting little bits here and there, but actually he wanted me to stop, change my posture and breathe him in fully, filled full through my nose. Because the truth is, we can be catching our breath, can't we? In so many different ways. Our relationship with God can feel like that. A quick 5 minutes here and there, that breath in. A quick read of our Bible and we're done. And then we can be fighting for our breath, can't we? Sometimes the priorities in our life or where we put our time and our energy and our efforts can fill us so full that then we have just that extra breathing in of God, and that our relationship with him can become a bit like that, can't it? And before I mentioned about that different posture, and so I've done some research, okay? I've gone a bit scientific and I've had a look at some of the differences between breathing through your nose and breathing through your mouth. Because I think it's so significant that at the very start, at the very beginning of time, God breathes into Adam's nostrils. We'd kind of think that the easiest thing to do would be to breathe straight into somebody's mouth to give them that life-giving breath. But it's really specific that God breathes into the nostrils of Adam. And it's we can receive that same breath. So the first benefit is this. So inside your nose, you have loads of little hairs, some more than others, maybe. You might have to trim a few every now and again, but they are super important. So they protect against 20 billion particles of foreign matter getting into your lungs every single day. So we don't realize it, it's just happening naturally. And all of those different things that can make us ill, can get into our lungs, can make it harder for us to breathe. All of those little hairs are constantly protecting us from that. And when we breathe in Jesus' life-giving spirit, it gives us protection. When we breathe in Jesus' life-giving spirit, it gives us protection. You know, the disciples would have been really worried. They have just gone through so much the last few days with Jesus. He died on the cross, then he rose again, and now they're seeing him, and there's so much happening. And they would have been really worried. They knew that Jesus wasn't going to stay for long. But in that moment, Jesus breathes on them, and they knew in that moment that they weren't alone. Whatever they were then going to go to face, they were protected. You know, his life-giving spirit protects us. We are protected. You know, because we are in a battle, aren't we? There is always a battle going on in the heavenly realms, isn't it? That battle for our heart, the battle for our time, the battle for our attention. And actually, his spirit can guard us and it can guide us, even from things that we might not even see or we might not even know. When we breathe in that life-giving spirit, we have a protection that comes from Jesus Christ. You know, these are the things that we want to get into us. There are things that want to get into us, aren't there? There's so many different things that we can breathe in around us, things that are good, things that are bad. And there are things that want to get into us, that want to get into our hearts, that want to take root, and so many different areas of our lives that can happen. But when we breathe in his life-giving spirit and it fills us full, we are protected. We are covered. You know, are we letting things get into us and our life? Do we need to breathe in his life-giving spirit once more for that protection? You know, the second benefit of nose breathing is that nose breathing actually strengthens your diaphragm. Did you know this? So when you breathe in through your nose, it like works the muscles down here in your diaphragm. And like your diaphragm is like such an incredible muscle that needs to work really well. And it is necessary for your core and it's necessary for your spine stability. How crazy is that? That just breathing through your nose can affect all of that as well. And when we breathe in Jesus' life-giving spirit, it gives us strength. We can stand firm. You know, the disciples knew that things like were going to be difficult. It said at the start of that passage that they had their doors locked for fear. They knew that there was opposition. They knew that attack could maybe come. And they had their doors locked. But when Jesus breathed his life-giving spirit onto them, he was giving them a supernatural strength. The strength and the ability to stand firm. And we see this in Acts as scripture goes on. Those disciples did incredible things. They were able to stand firm in the midst of so much. And that is what happens when we breathe in his life-giving spirit. You can stand firm when you have the breath of God inside of you and living in you. You know, you can be strong even when the world around you seems really chaotic or a situation seems impossible. Through earthly eyes, sometimes it can seem impossible that we could stand and stand firm and be at peace. But you absolutely can. When we have God's breath within us, we can stand firm. And what a practice that is, really, to keep coming back to God. You know, it's a daily thing to keep coming back to God and being filled with his breath and standing firm. And I pray that for us as individuals as well, but also for us as a church too. That it would be how incredible that like whatever happens like around us in our world or our community or different things like that, that it would be a practice for us to think our first move is to be filled first with the breath of God. And then that would be our greatest strength. That would be our strength. That would be our ability to stand firm, not by anything else around us, but by God's breath within us. That would be our greatest strength. You know, the third benefit of nose breathing is this. So nose breathing actually improves your movement. So I read this recently and it says, when breathing is dysfunctional, movement cannot be functional. When breathing is dysfunctional, movement cannot be functional. You know, we see that medically, don't we? That when our breathing changes, it can affect our body, how we move, how we like interact. And we see that in sport too, like breathing so important that like swimmers, they need to time their breaths. When you're running, you've got to do that pattern of breath because they know that as they're breathing, it is going to affect how they are moving, how they are performing. And breathing through our nose affects what we do physically. What you are putting in affects what is coming out. And so when we breathe in Jesus' life-giving spirit, it gives us purpose. The disciples now had a purpose. Jesus didn't just fill them and then that was it. It was all great. He filled them and then he said, go. He said, go. He sent them. He filled them and then sent them to go. He told them to spread the good news. And we know as scripture goes on that they are filled again and they have that great commission to go. It's that pattern of being filled and then sent, filled and then sent to spread the good news and the message of Jesus. You know, and I mentioned before about us having that change of perspective, that different perspective. And, you know, breathing in his spirit can lift our eyes and give us a different perspective on God's plan for us and his purpose for our lives. You know, some of us might sometimes feel a bit lost and we don't know that purpose and we're unsure of what God's asking us, and we can just breathe him in and ask for that different perspective, his perspective. And it's that acknowledging that for us, that we want to, every single step we take, we want to take it with his spirit guiding us. You know, it's clear, isn't it, that our breathing technique affects our movements. And so we want to make sure that we're moving and guided by his spirit through our lives. You know, the things you do, the words that we say and speak, the places that we go to, the friends that we spend time with, are they a result of his spirit dwelling within us? Do we find our purpose in him? Because we've said, haven't we, what we fill ourselves with is what is going to come out. And we want his spirit to ordain our every single step. You know, and the last benefit of nose breathing is that nose breathing keeps air in your lungs for longer. So in turn, it means that you get more oxygen from the air that's going around our body, and it stays in our body for so much longer. So mouth breathing is really quick, but it's inefficient. And so it even says that as you're like breathing in through your mouth, that your muscles will get exhausted quicker. So you won't be able to sustain it for a long amount of time. Nose breathing is slower, but it's more intentional and it's better. So when we breathe in Jesus's life-giving spirit, it gives us longevity. When we breathe in Jesus's life-giving spirit, it gives us longevity. We don't want to run on empty, do we? When we spend time with God, when we make it that daily walk, when we come back to him constantly to be filled with his spirit, to be filled by him, it means that we can walk our walk with longevity. Because I've tried to run on empty and it is impossible. We get burnt out. It's not just detrimental to us, but it's detrimental to those around us, people that we're leading, our families, so many different areas of life. When we run on empty, it is impossible. But when Jesus breathes, he fills us full. He doesn't just give like a portion of what we need or a little bit here and there. That actually, when we open up our hands and we say to God, God, I am here. I am ready. Please fill me. That actually he fills us full, and even more than that, he fills us to overflowing. In Romans 15, 13, it says this, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Being filled full gives us the longevity to keep going, but it also has that greater longevity and legacy as we overflow to those around us. Walking in the Spirit, when we see someone that is really walking in the Spirit, it is infectious. You know, when we're filled to overflowing, it flows out to all those that we meet, to our family, in our workplace, in our community. Our joy overflows, our peace overflows, our love overflows. When we are filled, what we are putting in will come out. That is our heart. That is our desire. And in John 7, verses 38 to 39, Jesus says of those who choose to follow him with all their heart, he says this, that streams of living water will flow within them. When we are filled full, streams of living water flow within us. And then if the Bible says that we're filled to overflowing, then those streams of living water will flow out to all that we meet. His life-giving presence, it flows like streams of living water. You know, I don't know about you, but I want to see streams of living water in my life. I want to see it for me, but I want to see it for the community, for our church, for our families, for our schools, for our workplaces, that as we are filled full and those streams of living water are within us, that we will overflow and we will see streams of living water in our world. You know, let's be a people that desire that. To be filled full so that we can have the longevity to see those streams of living water. Band, you can come and join me. Thank you. I read a quote recently that said this by A.W. Tozer, and it says, "The spirit-filled life is not a special deluxe edition of Christianity. It is part and parcel of the total plan of God for his people." I'll read that again. The spirit-filled life is not a special deluxe edition of Christianity, a point that we can reach and get to, or only for the few. That actually, walking in his spirit, being filled full, it is part and parcel of the total plan of God for his people. I really pray that for us, that that would be our heart and our desire. That it would be part and parcel of God's plan for us. Shall we stand together, church? And you know, over the last few weeks, we've had those responses of being filled. And I really want to encourage us this morning that it isn't just like a one-time thing that we're filled and then that's great and we can go off and live our life with God. And I really want to challenge us to keep being filled, to keep having that desire, that longing for his presence, knowing that we can't do anything without it. And you know, to be filled with his breath, we have to be empty first. To be filled, we have to be empty. And that means that we've got to be fully surrendered to God. That desire and that longing for him. And I really want to encourage us this morning to do that, to really surrender to God, to empty ourselves and give everything to him. So that he can fill us full, fills us to overflow. And I really want to encourage us to have that different posture today. Just as we've talked about that difference between the nose breathing and the mouth breathing, that actually that would encourage us to have a different posture. Maybe we need to do something different this morning, whether it's how we worship or we just have that moment with God or we fall to our knees or whatever it is that we're saying and we're doing something different to say to God, I am here and I want you to fill me full. So let's pray together. Father God, I thank you that you are here. I thank you for that whole thread of scripture that's right from the beginning of time to right here in this moment, that your life-giving spirit, your breath is here in this place. You are alive, you are working, you are active, and you want to fill us. And God, I pray for those four things that we talked about this morning, that protection. I pray, Father God, that as we breathe you in this morning, that you would give us that protection. You would guard us. You would have that fortress around us. I pray for those that feel like they don't have that this morning, that as they breathe you in, that they would feel your arms around them like never before. I really pray for that strength that we had talked about. That if there are people in this place this morning that don't feel like they are strong, that they can breathe you in and know that they can stand firm and know that they have a God-given supernatural strength that doesn't make sense, that it is a peace that comes with that, and they know that they can stand strong. God, I pray for that purpose that we have talked about. That as we breathe you in, that we change our perspective and we see that God-given purpose. God, I pray this morning that you would be speaking to us, that as we breathe you in, that you would be giving visions and dreams, that you would give us that God-given purpose. And God, I pray for that longevity. God, we want to be people of longevity that don't just take a breath in here and there and run on empty, but we want to be a people that consistently fall at your feet, that we consistently breathe you in so that we can run our race with longevity. God, we pray in this moment, would you fill us full and then fill us to overflowing. Amen.